At the Conservative Political Action Conference this morning, President Donald Trump announced what he called the toughest sanctions ever on North Korea. His administration also notified Congress today that the U.S. Embassy in Israel will move to Jerusalem in May. But on gun control, the president did not mention his support this week for increasing the minimum age for owning a semi-automatic weapon to 21. Instead, he promised the CPAC audience to, quote, do something that works.
And there's nobody that loves the Second Amendment more than I do, and there's nobody that respects the NRA. They're friends of mine. They backed us all. They're great people. They're patriots. But they're great people. But we really do have to strengthen up, really strengthen up background checks. We have to do that.
Also, there's news today that the Trump campaign official Rick Gates is expected to plead guilty in the ongoing FBI Russia investigation. That's a sign that he's cooperating with special counsel Robert Mueller as he investigates possible Trump campaign collusion with Russians. Our Friday roundtable joins us now to talk about it all today. Jesse Holland, Associated Press reporter. Hi, Jesse.
How you doing?
Doing well. And Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Hi, Rick.
Great to be with you.
And let's listen to a little bit more of the president at CPAC this morning talking about Democrats and the upcoming midterm elections.
If they get in, they will repeal your tax cuts. They will put judges in that you wouldn't believe. They'll take away your Second Amendment, which we will never allow to happen. They'll take away your Second Amendment.
Rick, the president spoke for a long time. It sounded like a lot of red meat to the base. What stuck out to you about the speech?
It was a greatest hit speech from the president. What struck me was the tone, given the timing, that we've had this national tragedy barely a week ago. You had the president in empathetic mode talking to victims of gun violence just a few days ago. And there was really no mention of that side of it. This was a chance of lock her up. There was a dig at John McCain in there. There was a lot of red meat for the base. And on gun control, as you mentioned, he did not actually talk about his support for gun restrictions. While he talked about arming teachers and securing schools and mental health, he was staying away from some of the more controversial aspects of what even he has begun to propose.
Well, Jesse, why do you think that is? Why did the president stay away from things that he's even been talking about this week on guns?
Well, we can, from the speech today, we can call it a greatest hits speech, or you can also call it a rerun, because he stuck to the things he knew that would rile the crowd up. He stuck to his applause lines. He didn't really reach very far in trying to get new ideas, new proposals out at CPAC. He stuck to what he knew would get applause from the audience he was in front of. It seems that sometimes he gets energized by cheering crowds. So he makes sure he gives them the material he knows they're going to cheer. So we didn't see anything controversial. We didn't see anything new. We didn't see anything groundbreaking out there at CPAC. But we did see a lot of applause and a lot of chants that looked like the crowds and the appearances we saw during his campaign to president.
You know, I want to play a little bit of tape from the president yesterday because there's still a question of exactly where does he stand on some of these proposals about gun legislation we've been hearing about this week. So again, this is the president yesterday. He was asked about his support for raising the minimum age for a gun purchase to 21, even though the NRA does oppose that.
I don't think I'll be going up against them. I really think the NRA wants to do what's right. I mean, they're very close to me. I'm very close to them. They're very, very great people. They love this country. They're patriots.
So, Rick, if you're a member of Congress, a Republican member of Congress who may be tasked with actually coming up with some kind of legislation, where does what the president has and hasn't been saying this week leave you?
I think they feel like because they've been away for a few days, they can let the president ponder openly whatever he'd like. And when they're back next week, they can start to get down to business. They're not going to have votes on this for a while. I think members of Congress are just going to look to see what are the policy proposals. And I think most of them are very skeptical that he is going to be up against the NRA in any way. He is aligning his views more closely to them. We know that he's talked extensively to the NRA in the last few days. His speech at CPAC today, just 24 hours after a couple of NRA members fired up the crowd there a day before. And I think that the general sense is that these things erupt and there's a big mass movement, but then they begin to fizzle and people focus on other things. The open question to my mind now, is this different? Because it does feel different. And to see the voices of these teenagers so eloquently speaking about the impact of gun violence, you've seen Senator Marco Rubio and a few others begin to say, maybe we do need to reexamine gun laws. But I'm not there yet. I think we're going to have to see how far this movement lasts. It can't just be about big public discussions. It has to be about policy proposals, which we just haven't seen yet.
Yeah, it does feel different this time, I have to say, you know, having now covered so many of these mass shootings, the students have really given voice that we haven't heard as much in the past. Let's listen here to Alfonso Calderon on Wednesday when students held a rally in Tallahassee. This is a Parkland student survivor.
Everybody needs to remember, we are just children. A lot of people think that that disqualifies us from even having an opinion on this sort of matter. As if maybe because we've been through a traumatic experience that we don't know what we're talking about, that we're speaking irrationally. And I want everybody to remember that is not the case.
Jesse, do you think at the end of all this that there will be some meaningful changes?
Well, it's hard to tell because we're still so close to the tragedy itself. We expect people to be loud and to be stringent about their issues directly after the tragedy. Where we'll see the difference is 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, if we're still seeing the same amount of passion, if students are still out there protesting and pushing their parents to push their lawmakers to do something different. It's easy to push right on the heels of the tragedy. Lasting change comes weeks, months later when people are still out there. So it'll be interesting to see if this kind of enthusiasm we're seeing from the grassroots, from children in school, still exists a month or two from now when we see other issues come up. If it's still going 2 or 3 weeks from now, a month from now, we know we'll probably see something behind that.
Well, let's take a quick look at other major news today. This is from the Russia investigation. A guilty plea from former Trump campaign deputy director Rick Gates. He was first charged in October. New charges this week. Rick, what do you think?
Well, this is a big deal in the sense that we've seen more weight put on Manafort and now Gates to try to come to some kind of a conclusion. This is another top campaign official who also served in the White House and during the transition in an extensive way. So he's got ties that are actually more extensive than even Paul Manafort's. I think the general sense is that this is more pressure on Manafort to flip. Gates is going to have potentially testimony that's damaging to Manafort. Manafort, who's in his late 60s, is looking at potentially spending the rest of his life in prison now. That can get things very serious very fast. But I think the general sense of pressure building and that Mueller is tightening the noose around a number of individuals close to the president. We don't know exactly where he goes, but we know that he has been able to bring substantial evidence that's now brought guilty pleas from a former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, now a former deputy campaign manager, another campaign advisor, George Papadopoulos, in addition to the rafts of indictments that have flowed out of that office.
And at the same time, the charges we're talking about today and in the last week are pretty far removed from Trump campaign collusion with Russians trying to interfere in the election, Jesse?
Right. We're only seeing the outer edges of the investigation. I think Robert Mueller is building a case, moving step by step to see where it goes. I mean, if you're inside the White House, you have to be getting a little bit worried with the guilty pleas, because that means that there won't be a trial. There won't be anything that you can spin in public. You have people admitting that they're doing these things. So we know that the more guilty pleas we see, the closer Robert Mueller's getting to what we know he really wants. And so it's just you have to start getting worried if you're inside the White House.
Well, one more thing about DACA. Of course, that's the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Let's hear what the president had to say this morning about it, because, of course, he ordered it to end on March 5th, which is just a week from this coming Monday.
The Democrats are being totally unresponsive. They don't want to do anything about DACA, I'm telling you. And it's very possible that DACA won't happen. And it's not because of the Republicans. It's because of the Democrats. And frankly, you better elect more Republicans, folks, or it'll never happen.
Rick, is time really running out to get a solution to this?
It sure may be, yeah, if the president keeps to his timeline. But that's the twisted logic there, is that it's the president's timeline. Mm-hmm. He set this deadline, not a court, not the Democrats, certainly. And if you believe his timeline, he's ready to act after March 5th to have the status expire for 800,000 DACA recipients. They could be in danger of deportation. Now, a lot of people think he'll push the deadline because it was set by him personally. But that is a strange sort of logic to pursue, that you need to elect more Republicans to protect Dreamers. Keep in mind, the president president just a few minutes after that little clip there went on an extended riff telling a story from an old song about a snake in which the snake actually is an immigrant. That is not the kind of attitude toward immigration that that I think is similar to what he just said about the Dreamers. So that makes it an interesting moment. And you're right, only a week away.
Well, and by the way, there's a story out right now about the fact that Melania Trump's parents are being given a green card thanks to what President Trump is against, which is what he calls chain migration.
That's right. And I think that no mention of that as the president wants to get rid of chain migration.
Jesse, just a few seconds. Go for it.
Sure. And if you know the president doesn't want this to linger through the midterm elections.
Right.
So you'd think that if he's setting that timeline, he wants to move sooner than later because you know Democrats are going to be pushing this issue when it comes to the midterm elections.
That's Jesse Holland with the Associated Press and Rick Klein of ABC News. Thanks to both of you.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.